work globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to Rise with Love. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode to assist you on your soulful journey. Rising with love means you are consciously choosing to co-create your life from your heart, to bring those dreams and desires into physical reality, to experience the expansion of love, abundance, joy, and freedom. I'm really excited to introduce you to my special guest today, Samantha Roberto, coaching and host of the Hello Be Beautiful podcast. Her mission is to encourage people to listen to the whispers of their heart and empower women to shine as their most confident selves. So you guys can tell why I'm super excited to have this conversation, and it's going to be so soulful, and I can't wait to dive in. So let's give Samantha Roberto a huge welcome.
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.
Oh my gosh, you are so gorgeous. And I love everything that you do, what you stand for. As apart from the Rise with Love, my brand is Whispers from Above with all my mediumship. So I'm like, oh, we've already got something in common because you're all about the whispers. And oh, I just can't wait to dive in. So you started in real estate. Okay. And I love your story that you're going to share with us, that you had this intuitive hit that there was something more for you. And I know that this is something people experience and they just don't do anything with it. So talk us through how that was for you and how you knew that you were destined for more.
It's so funny because, you know, looking back, I look at that girl, that version of me, and I just honor the amount of courage that she had to actually listen and take action on that little voice. Because at the time, it, you know, for me, it really came sort of out of nowhere. So like you mentioned, I was in real estate. I was checking all of society's boxes. I had a long-term relationship, a beautiful home, very successful career, you know, like check, 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 check. And one day while I was driving between appointments, you know, when you're driving and you're sort of in this meditative state, you're just sort of on autopilot, super relaxed, there's music playing in the background, and you sort of, it's like your brainwaves go to that, the alpha state, you know, they just kind of goes, you're sinking into the zone. While I was just kind of relaxing there, all of a sudden, this voice whispered to me, life isn't fun and life's supposed to be fun. You're 27 years old. Is this how you want to live the rest of your life? Like that. It was like, you know, those moments in life where you're just like, you look around, you're like, what was that? And it's just too real and too, like, it hits home in a way where you're like, I can't not think about this. So, you know, I got to my next appointment, did what I had to do. I went back home and I thought about it. And when I really quieted down, I knew the answer was no. So the scary part about that is that I had no idea what it meant. I had no idea what it looked like. But what I did know is that I needed to listen. Like, there was no other options. It's like, okay, well, I have to create space. So long story short, when I ended up, you know, taking a bit of space from my partner at the time, trying to figure things out. You know, I moved out of our place, decided I was going to take a little bit of a leave off of work and go out to Vancouver to visit my sister. And I was there for about 3 weeks. And the last day that I was there, I went with the purpose of getting clarity of what my next step should be. I was about to catch a flight to go back home. And I was talking to my sister and she says, I just said, I'm like, I really thought I'd have more clarity by this point. Like, I do feel better. I feel a little bit like I feel more okay, but I really wanted to go home with an answer. And she just sort of looked at me and she says, well, did you ask? I said, well, what? And she's like, did you ask? And I said, ask what? And she says, lay down. She proceeded to guide me through a beautiful 10-minute meditation where she had me ask the universe for an answer for the question I was looking for, like, give me a sign, whatever it is. So I asked, I meditated, I let it go. And I ended up, you know, saying goodbye to her, rushing off to my flight. And when I sat on my flight, there was a gentleman who sat in the seat next to me. And as the stewardess was walking by, she looked at her paper, looked at him and says, oh, excuse me, sir, can I see your ticket? And he showed her and says, oh, you're meant to be sitting back there. So as he was packing up his stuff, he looked over at me and I look at him. I said, honestly, you're fine here. You don't have to move. And he looked up and he says, you know, I'll stay here. And we ended up getting into conversation. That conversation completely changed my life. You know, when you just like you meet the right person at the right time, and he shared his personal journey, his story, and through his own experience, I knew I had this epiphany that I needed to go experience the world. I needed to travel. I needed to see more. So I flipped my ticket over. I got that moment of clarity and crystal clear wrote, you know, January 1st of this year, it was October at the time, I'm booking a one-way ticket across the world. I'm going to go on an adventure. This is what my soul wants. Like, and I'm going to surrender. So by the time I got home, and very quickly after I asked, I had like crystal clear steps of what I was going to do. And so I did. I booked a one-way ticket to Thailand with not even a plan. And that first initial leap, that first trip, that first terrifying jump led to a lifetime of adventures. I ended up traveling to over 50 countries, you know, within a span of 5 years. Yeah. And at the time it was just one trip, but one trip led into the next and the next and the next. And, you know, for me, it was really through that journey where I had my catalyst for my spiritual awakening. And yeah, it was pretty remarkable.
Oh my gosh. I'm just like, oh, my soul is like loving that story so much, because it does take courage. It takes courage to take that leap of faith. And I find in some ways so many similarities, because I was a primary school teacher. I was 25 when I got into this, what I call Melissa Mills HQ, creating this whole mediumship and soulful alignment mentor journey. And everything was perfect then. When I was a teacher, I was, you know, society's idea of perfection and what have you. And it does take that moment where you just go, you know what, this is not how I want to live my life. And you did that. And my goodness, look what's unfolded. I'm so envious of you, of this whole one-way ticket. By the time I was 27, I had 2 kids, you know, at that point. So I'll do that on the other end with the one-way ticket. But I find I love Thailand. I really resonate with Bali and Thailand. Those are two places that, oh, just have my soul. Totally. Oh, they're just
such good vibes, right?
Yeah, it's like a little heaven on earth, right? Now,
honestly, yeah, if the world was to open up right now, I'd be on a one-way. I mean, and I'm in Grenada right now, so I really can't complain. I'm, you know, in an exotic island off the coast of Venezuela, but Bali is where I would go.
Me too.
If I could go anywhere, I would go to Bali. I'll see you there. We'll meet up there.
Oh, I was supposed to facilitate a retreat in Bali in October this year. So my soul is in Bali. And for many people who know my story, I went to Bali when I was 29, and that's when I declared that I was no longer going to occupy the idea of, you know, wanting to commit suicide. So Bali is such a healing portal for me and a place of deep expansion. So I'm going to meet you there, sister. When the borders open, we are there. Let's do it. Let's enjoy the Bali vibes. In my mind, I'm already there with you. So
perfect,
you created the Vibrancy Method, which, oh my goodness, tickles every part of me, where you take people from being passionless to purposeful, which, if people know, this is my jam. So that's amazing. So explain to us why you think people are really struggling to have that passion and purpose in their lives.
You know, going back to my story, to where I was, you know, sure, I was checking all of society's boxes, but had I stayed in that situation and not listened to the whispers of my heart and not listened to my soul's true calling, chances are right now I would be incredibly unhappy. Like, you know, like that little whisper, it would have built and built and built. And I just think that, you know, in our society, we don't really cultivate an environment to really tune in to your intuition, to really trust yourself. It's more, you know, go to school, get a job, have a family, do this. It's just the next step, without any breathing room to consciously think about what is it that your soul wants. Like, if you could play and if you could do anything, what would you really be? I feel like children, you know, sort of have this way of being where they're playful and they're alive and they're having fun and they're experiencing life, but somewhere along the way we're sort of hardened and we're, you know, put into these little boxes that are stuffy and a little bit hard. So for me, you know, that's really, I think, a big part of it, is that people don't necessarily know, like, they're sort of in this box. And they don't know that there is that other version. It's as if you were a teacher, right? If you would have stayed in that, your soul would just like, it would know on the deepest level that you were meant for something different. And it would cause this internal conflict that would be really debilitating. So for me, it's, you know, creating a space to share about, you know, these philosophies and these ideas and help people get curious about what their little voice could be telling them. Like, what is their intuition guiding them to? And, you know, when you get playful with it, when you ask, when you do certain exercises just to expand your consciousness and the way that you see things, like anything in life is possible, period. Anything in life is possible. And life is meant to be experienced and it is meant to be joyful and loving. And, you know, you're supposed to embrace it all. You're not supposed to just fit in a little box and like, this is this life, I guess, you know, it's meant to be lived.
I love that so much. And, you know, I always say I'm a circle of trying to fit in a square. It doesn't work, right? And, you know, a lot of people think, well, I don't have a purpose, or how can I have a purpose? Because, you know, it doesn't need to be global. And, you know you probably believe what I do. We all have a purpose and it doesn't really matter because we're all interconnected and your purpose will weave in something. So I love that you take people back to the essence of their heart, right? Because I'm really saying right now, stop listening with your mind and start listening with your heart.
Totally. And I feel like so many people are so disconnected from their bodies. It's almost like they're discombobulated.
Yeah.
So if you can get into your body, if you can get into, you know, even just moving your body, like whether it's dance or, you know, doing yoga or something just to get into the body, right? And just really feel it. It's like there's so many gifts within that space. And at the end of the day, it's constantly changing. Like the version that I am right now, I'm a podcaster, I'm an empowerment coach, I'm a speaker, I'm a facilitator. And you know what? In life, that may change. It's probably going to change. And it's going to evolve and it's going to do something else. And that's okay. But I'm fully embodied in the now. And I'm like, so excited to be here. So, you know, just being open to the fact that like life will give you so many different gifts and to not be too attached to what the outcome is. And, you know, so many people, I think often we want to stay like comfortable. The ego wants to keep us safe. So it's like, yeah, like you have these moments of inspiration, but then your mind talks you out of it. And it's like, no, like follow the heart, give yourself that permission just to try that thing. Because if I didn't take that first trip, I would have missed out on a lifetime of adventure. That's 50 countries. Do you know how much experiencing 50 countries, like tasting the foods, smelling the scents, interacting with the people, listening to the language, like how much that has shifted and changed my entire life. It's just, you know, life is right there for every single one of us. It's whether or not we take that leap of faith.
Oh, so true, right? And I always use the analogy of like going to the gym. That leap of faith is like you getting in your car and going to the gym. You know, getting to the gym is like the mind games, right? But once you're there, it's actually not that bad. So in life, we have to follow that first niggle or that first little nudge or inspiration and just go with it. Because a lot of the time we get talked out of it by talking to somebody and they're like, why would you want to do that? I'm sure people said to you, why would you want to leave your very successful job in real estate to go to Thailand, you know? But look what's unfolded. And you wouldn't be empowering the people that you are making this global impact had you not done that.
And really, there is a power in knowing that you are aligned with your purpose. Like there's nothing more fulfilling. And I don't just say this like lightly, but I honestly think and feel, I know that if my like life in this physical form would end right now, I'm okay with that. You know, like it's like, I know that I am ringing my, like, I just feel so good with where I am at that. I just feel at a peace with everything.
Oh, I love that so, so much. I think I'm slightly in love with you, right?
I'm in love with you too. So it's okay. It's a mutual relationship. You know what? And one thing I want to share, actually, I just thought about this when you were saying it's like going to the gym. You know, right now, like I mentioned, I'm in Grenada. So prior to this, I was in Thunder Bay in Canada, a small Canadian city, and my partner was in Los Angeles. So when the pandemic hit back in March, we were both in LA and I'm like, I don't want to be in the States right now. Like there's no way. I want to go back to Canada. I want to go home. But then the borders closed. So for 6 months, we were separated by a closed border. So when he finally, back in September or August, he finally tried to come to Canada, he was denied and deported, sent back to the States. They're like not letting any Americans in. It's very tight, as is New Zealand, right? You guys are closed down. But we were looking, we're like, okay, well, where could we meet? Like this is a gift, you know, where there's somewhere in the world we can meet and it's going to work out. So we looked at a map. and we found Grenada. So for me to take that leap of faith and be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go to Grenada during hurricane season, during the midst of a pandemic, everybody around me is like, what? You're going? Are you crazy? What? And I was just like, for me, it was so easy because that, like, I've already exercised that muscle of taking those leaps of faith and knowing that, you know, whatever, then I can just come back. It'll be fine. That, you know, and then here I am for the past 2 months, I've been living in a tropical paradise where I see rainbows daily, actually.
Oh, I love that so much. And so many people don't experience this fulfillment of what life has on offer because it's like they believe that it has to always be hard or that you have to earn it or that you have to go through suffering to get to the other side of the greatness. And all you have to do is follow those little impulses in your heart because no one else is walking your life. And so even though people might have advice and they're coming from that place of love, they're actually coming from that place of their own projected fear onto you. And look at you, you're now with your partner in tropical paradise. I mean, like, where else would you rather be in the world? So
no complaints
whatsoever, right? Now, one of the things that I love about you is you talk about consciously cultivating the life that you want. So to some people, they might be like, I can't create the life that I want. Like, there's just no way. That's not possible for me. So can you share with us some tips as to how we can either start being conscious of how we're co-creating or even like a little practical step that we could do?
Honestly, taking 100% responsibility of your life is so powerful. Even just having a mantra, something that really feels really good for you, like something just to connect to your soul. So one thing I like to do is I look in the mirror, I do eye gazing. So I don't know if you ever do eye gazing. So yeah. I like to sort of look in the mirror. Sometimes whenever I feel like a bit of overwhelmed or I'm unsure, I look in the mirror and I'll look at myself in the eyes and I'll just say, you know exactly who you are. You know exactly who you are. And I'll put my hands on my heart. You know exactly who you are. Like, you are love. You are love. You are love. You are love. And from doing that practice of just connecting to the space of love and knowing who you are and connecting to your eyes, I feel like it just sort of brings your power back and it brings things in to feel really good about making a decision or taking control or, you know, doing something for yourself. I feel like, yeah, I don't know. That's what I would do.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually looking at yourself in the eyes in the mirror is so super powerful. And even if you feel like at the time you can't say, I love you, you could say, I'm willing to learn to love you. Right. I always say, if you can't say it, always use the in-between willing in anything. I'm willing to be abundant. I'm willing to experience joy because sometimes we're not in alignment. Like we might be saying, I am love, but feeling like totally lost.
It's not true. Yeah.
We've got to align with that. And this, the gazing into your own eyes is super powerful. And it is something that I recommend people to do. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. I feel like we must have had a past life experience together or something. Cause I'm like, there's way too many polarities between us. And I just love it so much. And I know that you have gone through quite a lot and you've probably had to discern judgment. So this is what I want to ask you because so many people judge their circumstances, judge, you know, whatever life has presented. But you mentioned, and I'm glad you did, that we've got to take responsibility. So how can we truly come from a place where we live our lives judgment-free?
Do you know what? I don't know if you've ever heard of Vipassana meditation.
No, I might have. Who knows?
I'll share a little bit about this and I'll go into a little bit of meditation because I think my answer is getting into meditation and sitting. And so a 10-day silent meditation, it's called Vipassana. So you sit there in complete
silence. Oh, that's probably
silence.
Why I am like, I can't shut up. Like that just seems like my worst nightmare.
Honestly, then I'm going to challenge you at some point in your life. Just put it there at some point and do it because honestly, it taught me so much in my life. And really it was discernment and not judging your actual physical body in your experience. So in this style of meditation, you sit for 10 days. There's no reading, no writing, no phones, no TVs, no talking, no eye contact, literally 11 hours a day meditating. And it's at a specific Vipassana center. Everything's on a schedule. You know, you don't have to worry about food or any of that. It's all taken care of for you. But as you sit there and you sit in meditation, like that's a lot. That's 11 hours a day. That's an extended meditation. But as you sit there all of a sudden you'll get an itch, and you like, you know, when you first sit, you'll scratch the itch, and then you'll sit there, and then you'll get another itch, and you'll kind of scratch, and then you'll sit there, and you'll kind of feel something, you'll kind of adjust in your chair. But as you go through and learn how to do this deeper meditation, eventually you get to a point where you can observe the itch without judgment, and then you notice that it goes away. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, you know, oh, I didn't have to scratch one. Like, I was able to sit through it. And then another itch will come up, and you can just breathe using the breath and focusing on the breath. You can observe another itch without judgment, and then eventually it goes away. And little by little, what this style of meditation does, it allows you to go to deeper and deeper subtle layers within the body. So then all of a sudden you'll get like a knee pain, and there will be a knee pain there for like maybe a minute, maybe 5 minutes, maybe an hour. But eventually what you can do is you just sort of sit there, and using the tool of your breath, you observe the sensations of the pain without judgment, and eventually it always all goes away. So what that style of meditation taught me is that everything is impermanent. Everything that happens is going to come and it's going to go. And using the tool of the breath is like the number one tool that we have to help keep us anchored in who we are, to kind of stay grounded until it passes. So if you are somebody who has a challenging time with, you know, with getting caught up in emotions and, you know, not being sure how to have discernment or anything, go to your breath, breathe, take, always just connect to the breath, and you will notice that when you do, it eventually will pass, it'll go away.
Yeah, I love that, because for me, the breath is our life force, right? It is what gives us the opportunity to have this physical experience. And so many people are shallow breathing, or they are, you know, like...
So this is exactly what I was saying. So many people are disconnected from their bodies, discombobulated. Like when you are shallow breathing and you're breathing literally just like a dog panting, like you are so out of your bodies. Whereas if you can even put your hands on your stomach, close your eyes, and just take a beautiful breath all the way through, you are bringing yourself back into your beautiful physical form.
I absolutely agree. And this is why when we're agitated or overwhelmed, people say, just take a breath, right? And we want to say to them, shut up, but you know, like, don't. But
yeah, you want to like punch them in the face.
Yeah. The breath is truly our gift of being able to transform and transmute the energy that we're experiencing. So I love that. And I do get asked all the time, Melissa, you do need to go and experience this. And I'm like, oh, the thought of not talking. I totally understand all of the values with that. I'm going to have to let the universe actually make that happen for me rather than me like making the choice of doing that. So we shall see.
You'll know when it's time. But I feel like Vipassana is just one of those experiences that I honestly, if the world did Vipassana, we would live in a totally different world.
Yeah.
Even just to learn how to, like even right now, I could just go into a deep meditation because I've gone to such extent. It's like the university of meditation almost. I want to say it's a lot.
Yeah. And it sounds so profound. And of course you learn a lot about yourself, and that gives you the ability to discern when someone is giving a projection, when someone says to you, let's use, you know, your journey from real estate to now being this location-free coach. And, you know, if someone had said to you, oh, Samantha, you know, you're crazy to want to go to Thailand. I know I've said this already, but it's like, if you had listened to that, then you wouldn't be where you are right now. And if someone says to you, oh, Samantha, you suck, you could be like, well, I'm going to use my understanding of things and choose whether or not that is something that I'm going to take as my reality. So people are going to judge, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever always. You're doing, whether it's good or bad, people are always going to judge, because we do, even though we're interconnected, we're not necessarily all relatable, right? So how can we not get caught up if we haven't done this beautiful meditation practice? How can we not get caught up in, well, that person thinks I shouldn't do this, but my soul is screaming at me that I should. So especially with the people that we love, like our family. So what is something else we could do?
You know, it's really funny. A couple of years ago, it was like having boundaries. I develop a mantra. I'm always all about the mantras, and they come from you.
Me too. I love mantras.
But I was like, maybe it was like 2.5 years ago when I was really sort of, at that point I had been traveling for 4 years, but I would go back home when I wanted to, but then go off. And this is when people, at first it was almost like a judgment, like you shouldn't go by yourself. You're going to get killed. You're going to get this. You're going to be caught. Like, what are you doing? But then after I was traveling and it was okay, it was like fine for a while. But then once it reached like 3 or 4 years of me living this lifestyle, then the judgments came of like, well, when are you going to settle down? Well, what, don't you want to get married? Don't you want this? Like all these other judgments. And I had to have clear boundaries around that to protect my own energy. And some people would just keep going, always project their things. So I don't know if we can swear on here, but my mantra was, I hear what you say. Like if someone said something to me, And I would try to say something back to them. They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't take, and they keep trying to project their stuff on me. I would actually say, I hear what you're saying to me, but I respectfully don't give a fuck. And then but I said it from a loving place. Like, I totally hear what you're saying, but I respectfully just don't give a fuck. And then all of a sudden, like for them, they were like, it kind of jolted them. And they're like, oh, and then I'm like, yeah, like it's all good. Like I'm good. I'm happy. So I think just like, I'm not going to tell the listeners to say that to people, but find established boundaries, you know, find a place where you can connect to yourself, take personal responsibility. If you're not into meditation, get a journal and write out your thoughts. Like, I don't know if you've heard of the practice morning pages. Yeah.
I'm maybe call it something else. What do you do in the morning pages?
So Morning Pages is a technique from Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way. She's phenomenal. For anybody who wants to tap into their creative sides or creativity, it's like, it's an epic. Like they think they just had their 30th anniversary book.
Wow.
But so essentially what she says is that every single day you want to free write 3 full pages. Don't judge what you write. Just write whatever it is that comes from pen to paper. So it could be even, you know, I don't even know what to write today. This exercise is stupid. I hate journaling. But then as you journal and as you write, more and more will kind of get out on the page. And you will, through journaling, you can get the clutter that's in your head out on paper. And essentially it creates more space within so that you can listen to your intuition. You can have more clarity. You feel more in alignment. So journaling is an amazing practice to be able to, you know, hone in on the personal responsibility, be able to hear your little voice and create more space within.
I love that so much. I do love journaling. And I think that's such a way of really, once you get past the little mind clutter of I got to do the dishes or, you know, whatever, you do get so many answers of what is truly available for you or what's going on for you in your mind. Because a lot of the time we are trying to keep ourselves busy. We're trying to keep ourselves out of our mind. We're trying to numb the pain that's showing up by, you know, watching Netflix or scrolling through social media for 2 hours. You know, we say, I'm going to hop on for 2 minutes and just quickly check, and then 2 hours has gone by, right? So I just feel that journaling can be a great way into the practice of meditation for people to kind of start to really like unpack the mind. So I want to kind of go to something a little bit different with you. If you could have a conversation with anyone that has walked the planet, whether they are fictional or not, who would that be? And what would you ask them?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there's 2 people that come to mind. And the first one would probably be Mother Teresa. I feel that Mother Teresa is somebody who in our physical form, human form, really, really lived from a place of her heart, truly, and truly lived her life completely in service. So
what would you ask her?
Yeah, I would ask her, you know, like, was there ever a moment, like, was there a moment in her life where she devoted her life? Like, what was her moment, her catalyst that got her to just devote her life to this work that she's doing? And really, because I feel like anybody I've met or come across, there's always this defining moment. Like, life wasn't always that way, but something happens that just, you know, just really anchors you in your why and really anchors you to your heart. So I would love to hear from Mother Teresa what that moment was for her and how she navigated, you know, following her path and staying true to herself. And also, like, too, how to, like, she's so, like, it's so saint, like, how do you, like, that much compassion, that much love, it's like being so connected to source all the time. It's just, you know, how do you stay so connected all the time?
Yeah. I love that. It kind of reminds me as well of like Gandhi, and how do someone become so all about, you know, coming from that place of love and compassion when there's destruction happening all around you? Who would be the second person? Because now I'm curious.
So the second one was going to be Timothy Leary. And that's just somebody, I don't know, have you heard of him before?
No, I have no idea who that is.
So he I had no idea up until like 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, but I was watching the Ram Dass documentary on Netflix, or Becoming Nobody. It's amazing. So, and then Ram Dass and Timothy Leary were sort of pioneers in the 60s. They were both, Harvard professors. And then they both, were playing with different like drugs and different psychedelics and that type of thing. And he just really lived, and he ended up getting fired from Harvard, and, just really lived his own path. He, just Google him, you will be like blown away at this guy's life. Like, it is way more interesting than any movie you could imagine. He just was a complete rebel and completely true to himself. And, the Beatles song Come Together, I didn't know this, but they actually wrote that. John Lennon wrote that for Timothy Leary, because in the 70s, he ran for California governor, I think it was. I don't know politics too much, but he ran against Ronald Reagan for politics, talking about love and oneness and whatnot. And, was obviously in, like I mentioned, he was a little bit into psychedelics. And at the time, in the 60s, it was like, even more like plant medicine and that type of thing was even more like a no-no. And he ended up getting getting caught and putting in jail, and then escaped and went to Albania, like, or not Albania, Algeria. Like, he just lived a very fascinating life. So I would just love to talk to him and just ask him how do you live your life? What do you believe? I would just love to just hear him speak and share his wisdom.
It's so cool when you see people who are so authentic to themselves and do not give a rat's ass really about what anyone else thinks. And that's what we're talking about, with the judgment and discernment and following your own heart, following that whisper that is saying to you, really that roaring inside of you that's like, go and do this. And it doesn't matter if you don't know how you're going to pay for it or what's going to unfold, just go and see what happens. I love that. I want to kind of ask you, Samantha, and because I feel like this would be so beautiful, what is your hope for humanity in the future?
I hope humanity continues, like, individually, one by one, we connect to our heart space, that people learn how to connect to their hearts so that we can all collectively heal. I think if you take the personal responsibility to heal yourself, you're doing your part as the collective, because you sort of, you mirror that and you shine that light out to everyone else around you. So, just for everybody to be able to tap into the space of love, compassion, acceptance, freedom. I would love, just to be able to play and be able to look at life as, the experience that I believe that it's meant to be.
Yeah. And I think you and I probably believe the same thing, because I really do not believe that we have come here to experience all of the suffering and the heaviness. Yes, we need them as part of the contrast to bring us to what we've truly come to be, and that is love and abundant and all those wonderful things. But a lot of people give too much momentum to all the stuff that is just here to help us get to that. So I love that vision. And I really feel as we move into the 5D energy, that 5D ascension, that we are moving into that space of our heart, that real compassion and that oneness of being in our bliss. Our jobs are what we love, not because we gotta pay the bills and this is the only job we can have, right? So I'm with you on that mission. We're in Bali co-creating this, and oh my gosh, I'm so just blessed beyond to have connected with you. And I feel like we might keep doing things with each other in the future. So if people want to connect with you, of course, I'm going to link it up anyway, but where do you hang out on social, and what's your website? How can people work with you? Let us know these deets.
Yeah, definitely. You can find me on Instagram at Samantha Roberto, or SamanthaRoberto.com is my website. And I currently have the Vibrancy Method program. Like I was sharing, it's a 3-month coaching program. So if you're interested, definitely reach out, and I'm more than happy to share more.
Oh, it sounds so amazing. And to anyone who's kind of like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with life, or life just sucks, you know, I highly recommend. I love your energy. You're so authentic. You're so true. I feel your heart because I can, you know, I read energy. So I really feel
this. You can feel beyond what I'm saying and what you see. It's like you can feel the energy there.
I so do. And you're so genuine. And not only are you gorgeous, right? You have this inner beauty that you can tell you've done the work. And that's really important, is when you're working with someone that's a mentor, you want to ensure that they have done the work too, so that they can understand when that resistance and those limitations and that sabotage kind of comes in. So I just adore you. I'm totally fan crushing on all that you do and the incredible impact you are making for humanity, and I wish you the utmost success. I so can't wait to see. I feel like you totally haven't even tapped into your full potential yet. So the best is still yet to come, honey. And what is something that you kind of want to share to the Rise With Love listeners from your heart?
I just want to share that you are all exactly where you are meant to be in this moment while you're listening to this. Really, truly, deeply know that you're exactly where you're meant to be, and that, you know, everything is going to be beautiful and it's going to be okay. When you open your heart up to love, you know, life really blossoms. So I do really encourage you guys on that path.
Oh, you could not have said, you know, better words to my ears. What's that expression?
I'm like singing to your ears.
That's right. Oh my goodness. So everybody, thank you so much for joining Samantha and myself and allowing this beautiful heart connection to unfold for you. And just keep listening to that whisper as to where the next step is for you. Trust that imagination, and just like Samantha, take that one plane ticket and just go and live your life. And of course, if you have enjoyed this episode, remember to leave a review and share it with anyone who you feel would also benefit from hearing this incredible message, which, by the way, is everybody. So everyone, until next time, Samantha, I love you, right?
Love you too.
Peace, love, and blessings, everyone. Bye.